All right, if you could open your Bibles to 2 Timothy 2 is where we're going to begin. 2 Timothy 2. And we've been going over being a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We spent about a month, maybe a month and a half on being a good soldier. And Friday was Veterans Day, was it not? We have any veterans here this morning? James? Dave? Rich? And we thank you guys for your service. Thank you for that. And praise the Lord for men that stood up and fought for freedom so we could come this morning and do this, and we don't have to be underground, we don't have to be hiding, we can come and proclaim Jesus Christ on the streets, proclaim it on Sunday morning, so thank you guys. But you guys would understand then what it's like to be a soldier. And so that's what we're talking about, is being a good soldier of Jesus Christ. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 3, we'll just begin there. This is where we understand that we are soldiers for Christ. The Bible says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier." And so we are to be a soldier. Jesus Christ chooses us to be a soldier, and we are to be a good soldier, right? And we've seen that as soldiers, we need to do a few things. First, we need to understand we're in a war. We can't be a soldier and think we're on vacation. Okay, you have to understand you're in a war. And so we are in a war right now. We need to understand who the war is against. The Bible says it's not against flesh and blood. It's not against other people, but it's against the Satan and his angels, principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this world. So we understand the enemy is Satan. We have to understand, as our verse says right here, we have to endure hardness as soldiers. We have to understand that there's going to be persecution. There's going to be tough times. There's going to be times when it maybe isn't as easy as we would like, but we need to endure hardness as a soldier because we're fighting for our commander, and we understand it's a war. It's not a vacation. It's a war that we're in. Last week we talked about, as good soldiers, we need to know our weapon, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We need to understand our weapon, know our weapon, be able to use our weapon. We have talked in weeks past about understanding our enemy, Satan, the devil. We're going to look at that again today, understanding more about our enemy. We've seen about our enemy that he wants to be like God. Isaiah 14 tells us that he wanted to be like the Most High, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. Satan wanted to be like God, but he was cast out of heaven. He was fallen from heaven. But he comes down to this world, and he's called the God of this world. Is that in Ephesians 2, verse 2, I believe? Okay, he calls him the God of this world, who blinds the minds of them which believe not. And that's what he wants to do. Satan knows that when we're born into this world, we are born as children of the devil, is what Jesus said in John 8:44. We are born children of the devil. And it's only by being born again through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ that we can become children of God. We can be adopted into the family of God. And so Satan knows all he has to do, and that's what that verse says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. All Satan has to do is blind the minds of the world, and they're his. They're going to go to hell, which is prepared for devil and his angels. They're going to be going, and they're going to live in rebellion against God just as he is. He wants to be a God. He wants to be their God. He doesn't want us to come to Jesus Christ. And so he blinds the minds of the world, of those that do not believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, the Bible says, which is the image of God, should shine unto them. So Satan's first plan, if we want to understand our enemy as a good soldier, his first plan is to blind the minds of those which don't believe. Don't let them come to salvation. Keep them away from the gospel message. Keep them away from people that are preaching the Word of God. Come up with excuses in their mind or rationalize or whatever he can do to keep them away, to keep their minds blinded. But yet, and it's a miracle, there are people that come to know salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Lord willing, you're one of those here this morning. And so though Satan tried to blind our minds, God is all-powerful, and the Word of God is sharp, it's powerful, more powerful than any two-edged sword, right? It's more sharper than any two-edged sword. And we were able to come to salvation. And so once we become children of God, once we're enlisted in His army, now we're soldiers of Jesus Christ, does Satan just leave us alone? No. He just goes to another plan. He's not going to blind your minds to the salvation, to the gospel. But he's going to go to plan B. And plan B has a lot of different strategies. Okay, a few weeks ago we saw that he wants to have believers. He tries to tempt believers to fall into sin. He tries to tempt us to live a lifestyle of sin. Why does he do that? Well, in 2 Timothy 2, verse 21, the Bible says that if a man departs from sin, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. So if we can depart from iniquity, depart from sin, we can be honorable, sanctified, and we can be ready for the master's use. So if Satan can get us to fall into sin, now we're not honorable, we're dishonorable. Now we're not sanctified, we're dirty. Now we're not ready to be used by the master, we're not suitable, we're not capable right then. We need to come. And the good news is that when we fall into sin, once we repent of that and come to God and confess it, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we can come back on the battlefield as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. But Satan wants us to be mired down in this muck and mire, and so that we can't do the work of our general, of our commander, of Jesus Christ. We can't be a good soldier if we're mired in sin. So that's one of Satan's plans, is to tempt us to sin. Okay, but there's other ways that Satan tempts us to sin. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, because we want to discuss today a few more ways that Satan will attack the soldiers of Christ, the soldiers of Jesus Christ. And as a good soldier, we need to know our enemy and know what he's up to. And that's what this verse is going to tell us. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. If you please stand with me, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. We're just going to read this one verse, but this is the kind of our starting point today. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. We want to understand our enemy. We see that right here. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. He wants to get an advantage of us. We should not be ignorant of his methods, of his devices that he uses. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that we can learn this morning, that all of us can have our eyes open, myself included, our ears open, that we can learn what you have for us in your word, and that we can be good soldiers for you. We can be ready for your use and ready for any battle we have to face, anything you want us to face, Lord. So help us to be good soldiers today by understanding our enemy and learning more about our enemy. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated, not dismissed. You're like, praise the Lord. I got more to say. So you're not dismissed yet. All right. So we're not to be ignorant of his devices, right? He says, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We need to understand what he is up to, our enemy. And again, our enemy is not flesh and blood. Our enemy is Satan and his angels and his cohorts. And he'll use men and he'll use women for his purposes, but they're not the enemy. It's the person behind them. Let's look at some other devices that he will use in our trying to understand our enemy. Let's go to Revelation chapter 12. We want to understand and not be ignorant of his devices. We see that he will attack believers, trying to get them, tempt them to sin. Here in Revelation chapter 12, we'll begin with verse 9. We're going to see another thing that Satan is up to. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9 says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. So we got the dragon, the serpent, the devil, and Satan. They're all names for the same person, the devil, which deceiveth the whole world. So Satan was cast out, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. So we see actually two things that our enemy is up to here. Number one, he deceives the whole world. He's a deceiver. Number two, he's an accuser. He accuses the brethren. Right there, the angels in heaven and the people in heaven are praising God, and they're saying glory to God, salvation, strength, and honor to God, because the accuser of our brethren, Satan, is cast out. The one who accused them before our God day and night. So we know right now Satan is up accusing. He's roaming the earth to and fro, walking up and down, and then he comes and presents himself before God, and he accuses the brethren. That's what it says right here, and that's in heaven, the people are rejoicing when finally they don't have to hear that anymore. He has no more access to God in heaven. We read in the book of Job that There was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, when the angels came to present themselves before God, and Satan came also among them. So we know that the angels can present themselves before God, but Satan also has access. God allows him to come in and present himself before the Lord. And God talks with Satan and says, what have you been up to? And Satan says, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. I'm in Job chapter 1 and 2. And then God says, have you considered my servant Job? Right? And so Satan says, yeah, Job, you know, you say he's this honorable and upright man, one that fears God, he eschews evil. But he only does that because you've prospered him so much, because you have a hedge around him. And if you took that away from him and let me persecute him a little bit, he'll curse you to your face. So Satan accused Job before God. Right? We read that in Job, and we see at Revelation, during the tribulation time, that Satan is still accusing the brethren before God day and night. Okay, so we know he's an accuser. Many people will take that and think that Satan like accuses us of sin and that we need to stop. That's just Satan telling us we're sinning. And what the Bible says is that he accuses us before God. So I don't think we want to take that and think that, well, you know, Satan's the one accusing me of sin. That's probably our conscience. That's probably the Holy Spirit. That's probably the Word of God, right? Because the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is the one that reproves the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. We don't want to take this and say, well, that's just Satan, you stop messing with me. I can do this. Okay, if we have our conscience, if we have, you know, the Holy Spirit inside of us accusing us, reproving us of sin, we need to listen and not grieve the Holy Spirit. Where Satan accuses us is before God. And we see that in Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. We see it in Job. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. And so he's doing that. That's one thing our enemy's up to. That's not going to be our focus today, but that's one thing he's up to. Another thing that he does. Let's read in Revelation 2, verse 10. So the same book, Revelation 2, verse 10. So Satan wants to tempt us into sin. He accuses us before God. Let's see some other things that our enemy does. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. God says in verse 10, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. So Revelation 2, verse 10, God is speaking to the believers in the church of Smyrna, this place over in Europe, right? This church. And he says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. So here, what does the devil do to the believers? Persecutes them, right? Gives them tribulation, casts them into prison. And so Satan is responsible for the persecution of Christians. So once we become believers, he will try to tempt us into sin. He'll accuse us before God. He'll persecute us. The Bible says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So we expect that. We know our enemy. We want to be a good soldier. We want to understand his tactics. We know what he's up to. If we see persecution in our life, we know where that comes from. It's not to be unexpected. You know, if you're over in Iraq and you see one of those explosive devices on the side of the road, you can't say, I can't believe what, nobody... No, they told them about that device, did they not? It's dangerous. But the army briefs them and said, this is what the enemy's going to do. They're going to try to put these roadside bombs there. That's what we're doing, is briefing us on what the enemy's going to be doing. There's going to be persecution. There's going to be temptation to sin. There's other things, too. Look at 1 Thessalonians 2:18. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 18. So you get in Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. After that, 1 and 2 Thessalonians. Right now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 is where we're at. Looking at another thing that our enemy, another tactic, another device, the Bible says, of the enemy. We don't want to be ignorant of his devices, lest he should get an advantage of us. God gives us all that we need right here to be thoroughly furnished, to be perfect, thoroughly furnished to all good works with the Bible. So we read this and learn. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 18. The Bible says, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. So Paul wanted to come to the church of the people of Thessalonica. Paul wanted to come, but Satan hindered him from coming. God's the one who revealed to Paul that Satan's the one who hindered him. And so we know that Satan can also hinder the works that we do. Right? So there could be sometimes we get involved in, you know, a work for God. We feel that we should do this and we should, whatever it is, it's witnessing, if it's if it's inviting people to something, if it's going out and doing good things for people, Satan can come and hinder that work. Does that necessarily mean that it's not a good work? No. Satan can hinder that. It didn't mean that Paul should not have came to Thessalonica, but Satan hindered them. So Satan can stand in front. He can hinder things. We even read in Daniel chapter 10 where one of the princes of Persia, one of Satan's angels, hindered an angel of God and held him up for 21 days. So Satan and his army are in the business of hindering the work of God. And so we should not be surprised if we meet resistance. Correct? So we see that Satan is up to that as well. He deceives. Okay, wait a minute. He accuses us, he persecutes us, and he hinders our work. All right. We looked at one other thing that he does, and this is what I want to focus on today. In Revelation 12:9, it said that the old serpent called the devil and Satan who deceiveth the whole world. Remember that? Revelation 12, verse 9. Satan, that old serpent, is a deceiver. He deceives the whole world. And that's what he did from the very beginning. When we think of the serpent, who did the serpent deceive? The Bible says the serpent deceiveth. He deceived Eve in the garden. So he was a deceiver from the beginning. And still, in Revelation 12, verse 9, it calls him that old serpent. So we know that he's still up to the deception, the deceiving. And so Satan still, even though once we come to Christ, he still is not done attacking. And one of the ways he does it is through deception, through deceit. We have to know this about our enemy. He does not fight what we would call a fair fight. It's not like those old wars where they used to stand in lines with bayonets and they just shoot each other and you know where your enemy's at and you can see them and you just thousands die and the last one standing wins. I mean, this is a war where you don't know who's on your side. And we're going to see that. It's a war of deception. Satan is a deceiver. He deceiveth the whole world. And he doesn't stop deceiving just because we become Christians. And that's one of the things that when we come to Christ, we think that, all right, I'm a Christian and I can go in a church and now, you know, it's over. Now I'm going to know all the truth and all this. And we do know the truth in God's Word. But there's constantly still attacks. And we're going to see a lot of the tactics that Satan has to deceive even believers. In Matthew 24, when Jesus was talking about the last times, the latter days, he begins talking in Matthew 24. He says, take heed that no man deceive you. So Jesus is talking that in the last times, there's going to be people trying to deceive. And Satan, we're going to see, is behind all that. But we know the last days are going to be full of deception. Jesus said, take heed that no man deceive you. Now we know, according to the Bible, we are in the last times. The Bible says that we are in the last days. We don't know whether we have 10 years, 1 year, 100 years, 1,000 years. We know that the Bible considers these the last days. And we know that these days are going to be full of deception. And so as soldiers for Christ, we need to be on guard now more than ever. The Bible says that it's going to grow worse and worse and worse. So we have it worse than our forefathers did. And the deception is going to grow worse and worse as we go. Jesus said, take heed that no man deceive you, for there shall arise false Christs, false prophets, and they shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. So, Jesus said there's going to be false Christs. There's going to be people that claim to be Christ, but there's also going to be people that preach false Christs. A different Christ than what we read in the Bible. A Christ that maybe wasn't born of a virgin, or a Christ that is just the spirit brother of Lucifer, or a Christ. All these different false Christs we need to worship in spirit and truth. We need to worship the Christ of the Bible. But in the latter times, these deceptions are going to preach false Christs, and there's going to be false prophets, and there's going to be false gospels. There's going to be all this false deception going on in the last times. Our world's full of these things. Let's go to 2 Timothy. You should be in 1 Thessalonians. Just go a few pages to your right to 2 Timothy chapter 3. So consider this a briefing, just as we come together as believers, as soldiers for Christ, on what our enemy is up to. We don't want to be ignorant of his devices, as we read earlier, lest he get an advantage of us. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, we're in the last days. This is what we read about the last days in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Dangerous times are going to come in the last days, and we're in the last days. So it's speaking to us. See if this sounds like people today. If it sounds like your normal average sitcom on the TV today. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. I mean, we could turn on the TV and see all that stuff just prated out there with a laugh track behind it, that this stuff is great and funny and good. That's what our world is today. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Skip over to verse 13. It's in the same vein, talking about the last days. It said, for evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. They're going to grow worse and worse, these evil men and seducers. And then it says, deceiving and being deceived, right? So we know that these evil men, these seducers, they are out there deceiving the world. But what about themselves? Are they deceived? Yes, and they're being deceived. Who's deceiving them? The one that deceives the whole world, right? So there are evil men and seducers waxing worse and worse. They're going to be deceiving in the last days. And it's going to get worse and worse, but they themselves are being deceived by Satan. Now, some deceptions are easy to see. I mean, if we go to 2 John, verse 7. The book of 2 John is just one chapter long. So we looked at 1 John for a long time last year. So go to 1 John and one page past that. 2 John. Some deceptions are going to be easy to see if we know the Word of God, if we read the Word of God. Here it says in verse 7, 2 John, verse 7, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. So we understand that if somebody will not confess that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, that he was just a spirit, or that he's just a person that embodies Christ-likeness, or it's a lot of this New Age type stuff that we can kind of have this Christ consciousness, and that he was just a man. No, he was Jesus the Christ. He came in the flesh. He was the Savior of the world. Okay, if somebody denies that, they are a deceiver. It says here that they are a deceiver and an antichrist. They're against Christ. And so that's easy to see. If somebody denies that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, but some are not as easy to see, right? Let's go to Matthew chapter 13. First book of the New Testament, Matthew chapter 13. So we understand that the last days are going to be worse and worse, and people are going to be deceiving and being deceived. Jesus said, take heed that no man deceive you in the last days. There'll be false Christs, false prophets. And we understand this, and as soldiers of Christ, we want to know what we're up against. We want to know what our enemy's up to. And we see here a lot of what the enemy's up to. Matthew chapter 13, verse 24. I'm going to read a while here. Matthew chapter 13, verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and he brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy has done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. So we understand that an enemy came and sowed bad seed of weeds into a good seed of good field full of wheat. Okay, let's move on here because Jesus is going to explain exactly what this means. Let's go to verse 36. Matthew 13, verse 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. They wanted to know, what does that mean? He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. So Jesus Christ talked about this parable. He talked about these tares that are in amongst the good seed that is planted by Jesus Christ himself, right? So we know that Satan is going to come and he is going to plant his followers, his children, in amongst the followers and children of Jesus Christ. And it's hard to know who they are. It's so hard, in fact, that Jesus said, you know, we don't go through our churches and try to say, well, we think you're a true believer and we think you're planted by Satan, and root them out, lest you root out some of the good as well. Right? I mean, I've done that in the garden out there. You see a piece of corn and you see some weeds. You pull the weed and out comes the corn, and there you lost the plant. No, you won't be eating that corn that fall then, right? And so you don't want to do that. And so Jesus said it's going to be hard to tell the difference at times between this good seed and the bad seed. Wait until the harvest, let God figure it out at the end, is what he said. And there will be a judgment. And Jesus talked about the judgment. He said there'll be wailing and gnashing of teeth. So, amongst the people that call themselves Christian, we understand, according to Jesus Christ, we understand that not everybody that claims the name of Christ, not everybody that says they're a Christian, not everybody that's in church on Sunday morning, not everybody that's preaching up in a pulpit is really a follower of Christ. And this is driven home time and time again in the Bible, because that's one of Satan's main ploys, is to use deception and deceive the world, and he does it by putting tares in among the wheat, putting his followers, children of him, in amongst the followers of Christ. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 11. So I know as a new believer, you assume that everybody that says, you know, we follow Christ is telling the truth. But then you come and you're bombarded with this over here and something over here, and there's a million different messages being told. And how can this be? And it's confusing. And that's what Satan wants. He wants deception. But as we study the Word of God, we understand why it is that way. We understand why it is so confusing, because there are many tares planted amongst the wheat. Even here in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13. The Bible says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." And so Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. He tries to appear as good. He tries to appear as wholesome. He tries to appear as a good way. And so he has his ministers as well, these false apostles, these deceitful workers, that are going to look good. They're going to look like angels of light. They're going to look good. But their end shall be according to their works. I think, just right offhand, I think of just the Mormon church. Just the billboards you see, a lot of websites you go on, the first thing that pops up, they pay a lot of money to get their thing on the top of Google or something. It says Mormon.org, and they have many good advertisements, and it looks like wholesome family values. It looks like this. I mean, you talk to them, they worship Jesus Christ, and everything's the same, and it looks all great. Well, no marvel, because Satan himself is also transformed into an angel of light. Satan's not coming out with everybody and just saying, worship the church of Satan. He just wants to deceive. To deceive and to get people off track so they can no longer be a good soldier. Imagine as a soldier. And this is where you can see Satan's his agenda. As a soldier in World War II, fighting and getting ready to battle against Berlin, a big battle against the Nazis, but he gets a message. He gets something that says, "Hey, soldier, we need you to go over to the Rhine River and work on a bridge here." And he thinks this is a message from, you know, his commander. And so he leaves and goes, works on this bridge. But in fact, it's a counterfeit message sent from Hitler. You can see how that would be to Hitler's advantage, right? No longer is this guy doing something important. He's building a bridge over the Rhine over here or something, doing something that has nothing to do with the war. So if Satan can deceive, if he can get false teachers, false apostles preaching false stuff and get people doing false things over here, they're not fighting in the war. Would you say that man's being a good soldier? Not if he's not doing what he's supposed to be doing. He's been deceived, and he's doing actually the work that the enemy's telling him to do. That would be a bad soldier. Okay, now, what would make it real bad is if he knew he should be on the lookout for deception, and he knew how to find out that deception, and still he was deceived because he just took it and went. We want to be a good soldier. We want to be sober, the Bible says. Be vigilant, because our adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. So we know, we're warned about this stuff. We know there's going to be many false things. There's going to be many seducers deceiving and being deceived. We know this stuff, so there's no excuse for us to be deceived, because we do have the truth. And so we need to be vigilant. We need to be on the lookout for these things and make sure that if it's a message coming, that that's a message from God. It's not from the enemy. But it's no marvel that this happens because Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Matthew 7:15 tells us, Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." So many times in the Bible we're called sheep, right? And Jesus is the good shepherd. He lays down his life for the sheep. So we are sheep, but Jesus said there's going to be false prophets which come to us in sheep's clothing. They're going to look just like sheep. They're going to look like Christians. They're going to talk like Christians. They're going to sound like Christians. But inwardly, they are ravening wolves. They're a wolf in sheep's clothing. So we cannot be naive of what our enemy is up to. This is probably, I would say, one of our enemy's main tactics. And you just watch, flip on the TV if you have, you know, all those channels where you get up in those religious sections. And you can see just the Mormon channel, then the Catholic channel, then this channel, and then 100 different messages being told. They all claim Christ, but they're all saying something totally different. One person's saying, you know, if you believe in Christ, you should be driving a Rolls Royce. The other one's saying, you know, who knows what they're saying. You need to worship this way. And you got all these different messages. And it makes sense if you understand that Satan has infiltrated the church and that there are many false prophets that are wolves in sheep's clothing. We don't want to be ignorant. Because Satan wants us to be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. If we aren't solid on our doctrine, if we don't know what we believe and what the truth is, it's going to really make us hesitant to go out and fight for Christ. If we don't know really the truth on these things, and we're up in the air and we're tossed to and fro by whoever we heard the last sermon from, it's going to be really hard for us to go witness to somebody because we don't know. We don't even know where you find the answers if we're listening to men. But what we're going to come to is there's one way to know the truth. And it's not by getting to, you know, a pastor that you know and trust and listen to him. No, it's by going to the one thing we can know and trust, the Word of God. And so we can know the truth. Otherwise, we're tossed to and fro. You know, Joyce Meyer says this. Well, no, Benny Hinn says this. Well, no, John MacArthur says this. No, what are we? We're not. That's tossed to and fro, is it not? Hebrews 13:9 says, "Be not carried about by diverse and strange doctrines." Don't be blown back and forth and carried about with everything you hear, diverse and strange doctrines. For it's a good thing that the heart be established with grace. So our hearts need to be established. When we have those signs, you know, in our houses, they, you know, the Smith family established 2002 or whatever it is, right? That's when it was set up. So our hearts need to be set up on the grace of Jesus Christ. We're established, though, and we're not tossed to and fro by diverse and strange doctrines. There's one thing that we go to, our rule, and that's the Word of God. So as soldiers of Christ, we need to make sure that we understand our enemy is out there trying to deceive. So that makes sense when we go to the Christian bookstore and there's everything from New Age to Catholic to everything in between. We can understand why that is. Because our enemy is in there. Jesus said there are tares among the wheat. Jesus said there's wolves in sheep's clothing. So how do we recognize and how do we protect ourselves most importantly? Okay? First, we understand and we recognize and we're not naive. Because it would be nice to just be able to put our head in the sand and say, we just want to get along. We just want to love everybody. And if they say they're Christian, we're just going to go along with it. But if Satan is infiltrating the church and he's doing this, do we think he's an idiot? No, Satan is smart. So there has to be a reason he's doing this, right? There's a reason he tries to introduce strange and diverse doctrines. There's a reason the Bible says that he introduces damnable heresies. There's a reason he wants tares among the wheat. He's not an idiot. Satan knows what he's doing. So if we understand that there's a reason he has tares among the wheat, there's a reason he has these false prophets and false teachers, then we understand there's a reason that Jesus said we need to recognize that, we need to be sober, be vigilant, that we need to separate from that, we need to be on guard. We don't just want to go along with it and say, well, it's no big deal. So we need to understand these things and not be naive, not be ignorant of his devices. And the way we can spot false teaching, the way we can spot these things, is if we know the true teaching of the Bible. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And this is our sword, the Word of God. This is why it's so important for those people in the Congo to have the Word of God. Because how do you know? If it wasn't for the Word of God, how would I know? How would anybody know if we can't go and prove it? Remember, the Bible says in Acts 17:11 that the Bereans were more noble than the people in Thessalonica because they received the Word with all readiness of mind, but then they searched the Scriptures daily to see whether those things were so. We want to search the Scriptures. We want to know these things. 2 Timothy 3, we were just there. The last days, perilous times shall come, right? Verse 13 says, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So then it gives us, though, the remedy. It gives us our plan to counteract this. It says, continue thou, in verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. So we're going to continue in something that we've learned. What is it? Verse 15 tells us, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. We want to continue in the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Then it goes on and talks more about Scripture. In that verse that we all know, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable. So he's saying that there's going to be evil men, seducers, waxing worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived in the last days. You need to continue in the Holy Scriptures, which can make you wise to salvation. And you need to know that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Every part of it. So he's saying, go to the Scriptures and you can trust every single word from Genesis to Revelation. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, so that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So when we get those verses that I have memorized because it's the Word of God, the reason he's telling us that is because of these evil men and seducers that are going to wax worse and worse, that are going to try to deceive us. Then he points us to the Word of God. Continue in the Holy Scriptures, and all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and all Scripture is profitable, and all Scripture can make you perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So as a soldier, we need to be in the Word of God. We need to know the Word of God, continue in the Holy Scriptures, because that's our remedy. That's how we know a deception from the truth. That's how we know when a document comes and tells us what to do as a soldier. Is this coming from Hitler or is it coming from Patton? Right? We need to know, because we would know what our God is about. We know what our God is. We know what our instructions are. We need to be fluent in God's Word. What do you think about a soldier? Let's end on this. What if I was a soldier and I knew that this soldier next to me, he got instructions from Hitler to go build this bridge. I knew that it was wrong. I knew it was a counterfeit. I knew it was a deception. But I just said, well, you know, it's his own lie. He'll make his own. I don't even tell him. Would that be good? That wouldn't be a good soldier. We're on the same team. We're fighting. We're both soldiers. I want to show him, listen, that's not a real thing. Do you see the seal of the United States on there? It's like, no, well, that can't be real. You know, here's what a real document says. And so we show him the real thing. And so as brothers and sisters in Christ, as a church, as the called out people, as Christians, we should not just say, well, let that brother go off. Well, let that sister go off. It's their own life. They're being deceived. And they're brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to help them and show them, not by making fun, not by, you know, personally attacks, but by showing them the Word of God. And then they have to come to that decision. But a good soldier is not going to just let soldiers be deceived by the enemy and just say, well, at least I'm not being deceived. We want to be there for each other. And that's kind of what we see in Ephesians chapter 4. Let's end there at Ephesians chapter 4. Being there for each other as believers. We come on Sunday. We have different people teaching Sunday schools. Different people giving, you know, the introduction, the welcome. Different people preaching. We come up and we hear different things so we can all grow together. And we can all be in the Scriptures. And we can all help one another. And that's what the church is. That's what Christ has. It's not just a lone ranger out here trying to do it on our own. We're in this together. And that's what we read in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. It says, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Talking about these different gifts and these different offices in the church. He gives these different gifts to people for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. All of us have ways that we can work to build up the body of Christ, to help one another, till we all come, verse 13, in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Our unity has to be in true knowledge. It has to be in spirit and in truth, in the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Then we see verse 14. This is what the church is about. All coming together, all building each other up, verse 14, so that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. We want to be here, the church, the people, not the building. The church, the Bible says, the people of the church, the believers, are the pillar and ground of truth. We watch over the Scriptures. We see the Scriptures. We are the pillar and ground of truth. God has put us as the royal priesthood now, in charge of making sure that we are helping each other not be tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So as fellow believers, if you see me being deceived, you should come up and show me. You should come up and tell me, speaking the truth in love by the Holy Scriptures. And if I see you, you know, being deceived, we should look at that from the Holy Scriptures. Right? We don't just sit back and say, well, there goes another soldier taken away. We're on this together. We're to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. We can speak the truth in love. And so we understand our enemy. We understand that he wants to tempt us into sin. We looked at that a few weeks ago. We understand that he accuses us. We understand that he brings persecution. We understand that he can hinder us in the things we do. And finally, we understand that he is in the business of deception. And we need to be aware. And I still think it comes back to 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Be sober and be vigilant. We need to be aware. We're not just, you know, in a fog. We're sober. We're crisp and clear. And we're vigilant. We're on the lookout. You know, we're watching because our adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. We know that he's about trying to devour us. We need to take heed lest we fall, right? We need to always be sober and vigilant, knowing that there's deception and he wants to deceive us, and he's got a plan for the deceiving so that we cannot be good soldiers, so that we can be diverted over here to building a bridge when the war's going on over here. We want to be a good soldier. And there's a lot that goes into being a good soldier. There's a lot that goes into being a good United States Marine or an Army or, you know, that's why they got boot camp, that's why they are disciplined. Because there's so much that goes into it. It's not just everybody go out and do what you want. So we as a church, we as a people that are soldiers of Christ, we need to understand there's a lot that goes to it. We want to prepare and we want to study and we want to be in the Word of God, because this, it all comes back to this. It all comes back to the Word of God. And the Word of God, the Bible says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And so if you do not have knowledge that you are saved this morning, if you do not know that if you died right now that you would go to heaven, where you find out how to be saved is in the Word of God. And the Word of God tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That every single one of us has sinned and we deserve death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible says that we deserve death because of our sins, because we're adulterers at heart, because we lust when we look like Jesus said, because we steal, because we lie, because we're rude, because, I mean, you just look at your life, and if you cannot see this, the multitude of ways that you fall short, you're lying to yourself. The man says he has no sin, he's a liar, and the truth's not in him. So because of that, we cannot go to heaven with God because of our sin, because of our rebellion against God. But Jesus Christ, God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to come to earth to make a way for us to be redeemed, to buy back our freedom, to buy back our salvation so we can go to heaven with God. And Jesus Christ came. He was nailed to a cross. He shed his blood, even though he had no sin. He did not deserve it, but he voluntarily gave up his life and took on the wrath of God for all your sins, for the sins of the whole world, the Bible says, so that we could be reunited with God, so we could have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And what the Bible says is that we have to have repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. So we have to understand our sin and be sorry for our sin and want to turn from that and turn instead to Jesus Christ and put our faith and our trust, deposit that in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Not, I believe in Jesus Christ and my good works. I believe in Jesus Christ and going to church. It's just in Jesus Christ. He is the only way. There's not multiple ways. And he's the only thing that makes us clean before God, sanctified before God. So I ask you this morning, if you do not know that you're saved, the Bible says Jesus Christ died for your sins. He was born, he was buried, he was raised again 3 days later, having victory over the grave. He gives you victory over the death that you deserve as well. And so we just call upon the name of the Lord. If he's working on your heart, you just call upon him and ask him to save you in whatever words you have. He knows your heart. Call upon him, and the Bible says you will be born again. You'll be a new creature. The Bible doesn't say then you're going to get a new Lamborghini. The Bible says you're going to be a new creature, and you're going to have new want-tos. You're going to have new desires, right? You're going to be a new creature. And then you begin your life as a soldier for Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we ask this morning that each one of us in our battles that we're fighting, that we could be a good soldier for you. Lord, I ask that we could help each other and we could sharpen each other and we could look out for one another and look for deceptions, and that our elders in this church can be on guard and be vigilant that deception doesn't enter into this church. And Lord, we ask that as we help one another, as we grow and we get stronger and more like you in the faith, and we learn from the scriptures, that we can go out and battle, go out and do work for you against our enemy. And so, Lord, we see these things, and I thank you for the clarity that's in your word, for the truth that's in your word, and that we can trust our lives to it and live our lives by it. And Lord, I thank you so much for your salvation through Jesus Christ, your Son, who came and died for our sins. Lord, be with us as we go out into the world, as we go out into the battlefield, and that we can be good soldiers for you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.